There is not one prophecy that has to be fulfilled before the next event, which is the rapture of the church. Not one prophecy. I was in a conference with Dr. John Walford, who was the president and then chancellor of Dallas Seminary, probably one of the great scholars in particular in Bible prophecy. We were in the conference, and I was talking to Dr. Walford, and a publisher asked him to write a book about all of the prophecies in the Word of God. The name of it slips my mind. It's an excellent book. You pastors might want it on your bookcase and in your study library. But I asked him, I said, well, are there any prophecies that have to be fulfilled? Now, I had studied and I couldn't see any. I said, are there any? He said, Jimmy, there are absolutely no prophecies that must be fulfilled before the rapture of the church. Every prophecy that has to be fulfilled yet in the Bible happens, and its fulfillment is complete after the rapture of the church. So what I'm going to be teaching in our hours together from the prophetic book of Ezekiel is those events that will happen after the rapture of the church. In other words, when the body of Christ has left this area and gone into the heavenlies. Now, if you have the book of Matthew, chapter 1, Matthew chapter 1 is a genealogy. It is from Abraham to Jesus Christ. This is a genealogy, and you can learn some great things in genealogies if you study them. Don't just speed read through them. Spend some time. Let me show you one verse, verse 17. Basically, this is a compilation of the rest of the genealogy. Look what it says. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations, and from David until the carrying away into Babylon are 14 generations, and from the carrying away into Babylon unto Christ are 14 generations. It's an interesting phrase because it is the only phrase in any genealogy I have ever read that deals with person to person to historic event to person. Mostly genealogies that I've ever read deal with people, not historic events. But within the context of this particular genealogy and a compilation of it, we find that the Babylonian captivity was a very unique event. Ezekiel was a product of the Babylonian captivity. At 30 years of age, Ezekiel had been taken into the captivity. He was living in Jerusalem, and in 597 BC, that's about some 8 years after Daniel and the three Hebrew buddies had been taken into the captivity, 597, God allows the Babylonians and Nebuchadnezzar on his second wave into Babylon to take Ezekiel and about 10,000 of his Jewish friends back to the Chebar River, which is a tributary off of the Euphrates River, to a place called Tel Aviv. And so they took him to Tel Aviv, where he would be ministering among the Jewish people. He was a priest already, having qualified as a priest. In chapter 1, go to Ezekiel. In chapter 1, we see that he was a priest. Verse 3, the word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel the priest. And so he was a priest that God was going to make a prophet as well. Now, there are two other men in the Bible that were both priests and prophets. Jeremiah was a priest, and also God called him to be a prophet. And then the Ezekiel was the priest and prophet, and Zechariah was a priest as well as a prophet. Actually, the truth is, Ezekiel studied to be a priest, and at 30 years of age, he was carried into the captivity. He never was able to practice the priesthood. And Zechariah, who was in the Babylonian captivity, basically received his training during the Babylonian captivity, and then he came back into Jerusalem with the ministry of encouraging the people to rebuild the temple, so he knew thus quite a bit about what was going on in the temple. Now, when we talk about the Babylonian captivity, that is a period of time when the Jews were taken out of the land. There are three times that the Jews are taken out of the land or leave the land for another purpose. In the book of Genesis, near the end of the book of Genesis, Jacob takes his family of 70 members and they go out of Israel south into Egypt. And that is the first departure, or the first diaspora, which is a Greek word meaning that they had been dispersed from out of the land. Then when we look at the book of Joshua, chapter 3, we see that God allows Joshua to bring the children of Israel back into the land. When they come back into the land, that is the first return. After the first diaspora, the first aliyah. Say that word, aliyah. Aliyah is a Hebrew word that literally means to go up to Jerusalem. But it's been applied now to mean wherever these Jews may be around the world, they go back to Jerusalem. And that was a responsibility of every Jewish man because of the three pilgrim feasts. Every year as they celebrated the feast of Passover, the feast of Pentecost, and the feast of Tabernacles, these Jewish men had to make aliyah. They had to go up to Jerusalem to the temple. And there they would do the worship during that period of time that they were observing the feast. And so the first diaspora, the first departure, is in Genesis when Jacob takes his 70 members of his family out of the land. By the way, 430 years later, Moses leads them out and back towards the promised land, not allowed to go in, but Joshua, his first lieutenant, goes in. And during that time, they came back out of Egyptian bondage and were wandering in the wilderness. There were 2 million Jews. What started out as 70 became 2 million. I say 2 million because the text tells us in the book of Exodus that there were 600,000 men plus the women and the children. And I figure if you have 600,000 men, you got a couple of women along, maybe 600,000 of them. Who wants to go anyplace without your woman, right? And if you got 600,000 men and 600,000 women, you probably got 2 million kids. And so there they are coming back. You can understand what drove Moses crazy. Trying to get 2 million Jews to do anything was amazing. And he finally had to give up. And then Joshua takes them into the land. The second departure of the Jewish people starts in 605 B.C. when Daniel and the three Hebrew buddies leave the land. And then it's the second phase of it when Ezekiel goes in 597. And then in 586, all the Jews were taken out of the land except for Jeremiah, who went to Egypt. And all the rest of the Jews were taken into the Babylonian captivity. That is the second departure or the second diaspora. 70 years after Daniel left, they were able to come back into the land. The book of Ezra, a record, chapter 1, of prophecy being fulfilled. The book of Isaiah, chapter 46, says that God will allow a man, and it even named the man. This is 150 years before the fact. He said Cyrus will be raised up to allow the Jews to go back to Jerusalem and to build their temple. And so that is exactly what happened. The book of Ezra is a record of the fulfillment of that prophecy, with Zerubbabel taking about 50,000, 49,897 to be exact, Jewish people back into the land for the purpose of rebuilding the temple. So that was the second departure and the second return, the second diaspora, the second aliyah. In 70 AD, as Jesus Christ had predicted, the temple was destroyed. There wasn't a stone upon a stone, and I've been with the archaeologists on the Temple Mount. I have a video in the back that records my search for the temple and the preparations to build the next one. And I was talking with Mayor Bendove, the chief archaeologist of the Temple Mount, and I asked him directly, is there one stone upon a stone on this Temple Mount in all of your searching? Have you found one? He said, absolutely not. And so the prophecy in Matthew 24 that there will not be a stone upon a stone on the Temple Mount in that temple was fulfilled in 70 AD. And that is the third departure of the people being taken out of the land. And there's going to be a third return, an aliyah. We're going to look at how God miraculously has reached into four corners of the earth, gathered his people, and brought them back into the land. He says 18 times in the 34th chapter of Ezekiel, he is going to do it. I'm going to tell you why he makes the statement and why he must bring them back in the land. We have an emerging church who talks about, basically we have replaced the Jews because they rejected Jesus Christ. That is called replacement theology. If you're in a church that says that God's done with the Jews, his program for the Jewish people is completed, I would suggest get out of it immediately. God has not completed his program with the Jews. Ezekiel is absolute evidence of the prophecies that will be fulfilled. What we see going on is evidence that it is coming towards complete fulfillment. And we'll be studying that tomorrow night and what God has is doing some miraculous things. He's reached into Russia, into Ethiopia, specifically fulfilling Bible prophecy and bringing these peoples into the land. Well, that is the third diaspora when they go out at 70 AD and the third return. Now, I've studied the word from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21, and there's never another departure out of the land or return to the land. And so we're living in that time that is talked about in this book. The return is in the process of unfolding even before our very eyes. The Babylonian captivity, though, is when Ezekiel received this message. And what's unique about that genealogy from Abraham to Jesus is that event, the Babylonian captivity, because that's the period of time when the Jews came under control of the Gentile world. The times of the Gentiles, if you've ever heard that phrase, Book of Luke chapter 21, verse 24 says, Jerusalem shall be trodden down until the times of the Gentiles be completed. And that's what Daniel chapter 2, chapter 7 is about. When the Jews come back into the land and that tribulation period is unfolding, I will bring an end to the times of the Gentiles. And it was in that time that Daniel prophesied. By the way, if you're wondering about when the prophets prophesied, it's good to understand that. There were two prophets that prophesied during the Babylonian captivity. Ezekiel is one of them, Daniel is the other. There were three prophets that prophesied after the return of the Babylonian captivity, and that was Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi, the last three prophets in the Old Testament. All the other prophets in the Old Testament, there's 17 total, I've just told you about five, so the other 12 all prophesied prior to the Babylonian captivity. That helps you have an understanding of the times in which they're prophesying.